in Liverpool podcast, bringing you news, views, and reviews. Brought to you by DeafNet Media and ArtInLiverpool.com. Presented by Neil Morin and Ian Jackson.
Hello and welcome to this week's Art in Liverpool podcast. And on this week's podcast, we bring you...
The Eco Design Show.
Joyous Machines.
Pete Clark at VGM.
All coming up on this week's Art in Liverpool podcast. News. News. The news this week, Ian, is that there is... Oh, you tell him. You tell him. It sounds lovely. Go on. You tell him.
Splashy.
Splashy. Oh, isn't that sounds lovely. Listen, I hope Splashy is going to have his own blog.
Oh, he should do, shouldn't he? Yes, that's a good idea. This is the Go Penguins again. And remember, we had this competition for artists to design a special Art in Liverpool Go Penguin. And so we've chosen our artist. It's Julie Dodd, and she designed one that she's called Splashy. And because, believe it or not, it's got coloured splashes of colour all over it. It'll have some text on it as well. Finer details to be finalised. So yeah, she's already starting work on that, so we'll be following the progress of that. And we believe it should be, when all the Go Penguins are out there in the city, ours should be by the suitcases along Hope Street there, by the Art College, appropriately, and by the school that I used to go to. So yeah, that's good news. So yeah, all the artists are now busy working on the various Go Penguins. Good.
And so now that we've mentioned it, you know, possibly a blog for it. What about even just, you know, its own Flickr stream? Just like photos of this is Splashy, you know, with a little bit more colour, and this is Splashy with a bit more.
Who's going to do that then? Because I don't think penguins are very good at typing.
Well, I wonder who might be able to do that kind of thing, Ian. Anyway, so that's Splashy. That is the Go Penguin. That is the Art in Liverpool Go Penguin. And as far as I know, there is not going to be a better Go Penguin in Liverpool than that one. And by the way, did you know that the Superland bananas, they're selling them for £30 at Utility?
Oh, that's right, yes, I know, yes. It's been slightly redesigned, and this is the official Chadochezo approved certified, etc. one that's now available at Utility and maybe only a few other places. Yeah, and there's a few different designs as well, but not too many. What was it? Oh, yes, there's also Liverpool One. I've got some Go Penguins, and they've just started a competition for someone to design the Liverpool One Go Penguin. So that's open now. It's on the website, and I think it's very short timescale now. So I think it's only the 19th of October, something like that. They've got to get designing.
Is it true there's an Aldi opening in Liverpool One?
An Aldi? I don't think so. There's a Habitat in St. Peter's Lane. There's going to be a nice new two-story Habitat. Remember the one that used to be in St. John's Precinct? Years and years ago, when I was young, there was a Habitat in St. John's, but it closed. But so now they're returning to Liverpool One.
Well, that's very nice for those people like to visit Habitat. Anyway, moving on in the news. Other big news, this has been out and about and people are talking about it already. There's the Liverpool Design Festival 2009 taking place in the crypt, Liverpool Cathedral crypt. I said that without making the joke.
Yes, well done. I was tempted. Yeah, the Liverpool Design Festival actually runs from 30th of October to the 8th of November, and there's various things going on at some other venues as well. I think there's going to be stuff in the Met Quarter and some other places. But the sort of main event is this Eco Design Show. So it's all design stuff, but on an ecological theme, which is in the crypt of the Metropolitan Cathedral from the 30th. That's the Friday until the Sunday, the 1st of November. That's a ticketed event. Lots of really good designers there from all kinds of products, ceramics, furniture, lighting, jewellery, etc., fashion. So yeah, tickets are available now. That's the news. All these are on the website. I'll give you the website address. is liverpooldesignfestival.com. So all the details are there, and you can buy tickets, and tickets are something like £5 per day or £8 for the weekend.
And it's a mighty nice website as well. I've already got my ticket. Admittedly, I was kind of like, that's yours. Thank you very much. We'll run another podcast for you. Yeah, absolutely fantastic. I'm really looking forward to it. Had the design show last year. I really loved that. Went down and spent the day down there and did a podcast from down there last year. So yeah, Liverpool Design Show looks really interesting. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it looks good. Yeah, there'll be some exhibitions as well. In like in the host restaurant, there's some, is it 8 views of Mount Fuji or something? And yeah, a few exhibitions around different places.
Excellent. And that's the news this week. Roundup of the week. Rounding up the week this week, Ian, I'm looking down this list. I've seen this already. There are Joyous Machines, there's Pete Clark, Tony Phillips, the Contemporary Urban Centre relaunch. That was a good night, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was a good night. Okay, but at the top of the roundup of the week, tell us about Joyous Machines at the Tate.
Yeah, Joyous Machines. This is the Michael Landy and Jean Tigley exhibition. Jean Tigley is the French guy who died in 1991. Yeah, Joyous Machines, it's a really good exhibition. There's sort of split into two halves. There's one half is the machines and the drawings, designs for them. Some of them actually produce drawings, so the drawings are produced by the machines. And then there's a video, and then the other bit is Michael Landy's drawings. He's done lots of drawings based on these machines, or referencing machines, etc. And the drawings are really good. Some of them done on black paper with using white oil stick or even correction fluid. Not allowed to say Tipex, because it's a brand name, you've got to call it correction fluid. They're really good. And some of the machines move. I managed to break one. Well, sort of. This was at the press view, so there was very few people around. I wasn't quite sure what to do. But there's a big red button on the floor in front of this artwork. So you go up and you stamp on the red button with your foot and the machine starts. So I did a few of these, and then you go around the corner, and there's another one with a big red button on the side of the plinth. I thought, red button, I'll press it. But that was the emergency off button, wasn't it? This one doesn't need a button to press it. It just rests for a few minutes and then starts again. And it was resting, and I thought, I'll press the button to start it. And so we had to get an engineer to come and reset the emergency off button. But it's their fault. There was no sign.
And there is now a coat hanging over that button, so nobody knows that it's there.
Yeah. So yeah, and actually, maybe you do need emergency off buttons, because it might go up in flames or something, as one of the main... A lot of this is centered around this major work that he did in New York called Homage to New York, which was a really big artwork sculpture, which actually did go on fire. And I'm not quite sure if it was intended to. Yeah. Well, it was intended to self-destruct anyway. It's a sort of suicidal sculpture. all lots of moving parts. If you remember, it did remind us of Jump Ship Rat, Ben Parry's the milk float, with all kinds of moving things on that was going on the Biennial a few years ago. Similar to that, on a larger scale. And yeah, so you can see this old black and white movie of the Somerset New York all moving around, eventually bursting into flames, and the fire brigade come in and pull it apart. And there's actually bits from that in the exhibition, of these charred bits of metal. That's the sort of main feature of this. And then there's another video by Michael Landy where he talks about all this and how he was greatly influenced by John Tigley's work when he was a student. He went to a retrospective in London somewhere. So that's good. So some of the artworks do actually move, but you have to be careful, because you don't know when they're going to stop and start. Don't press any emergency buttons.
That sounds really good. Did they send any photos? The Tate, are there any photos? It's quite hard to visualise what these little machines might look like. They're mad, kind of little, big, small. Little. It sounds interesting. It's getting me interested and making me want to go.
It is very good. Yeah, and actually, the one that I accidentally turned off, when they reset it, I did take a video of it. I just haven't. I'll upload that to YouTube soon. That's got a few moving parts, and it's got a pencil attached to it, and it draws like a sort of donut shape. And so one or two of them do these drawings. Others are just one. There's a few that are just where they have to take pictures off, so you can't see them. But it's just like a picture frame, but with things attached to it, which when you press the red button, they just slowly move around. So it's like a moving abstract artwork, just slowly for a few minutes, and then stops again.
Right. Okay. Well, I think we're all suitably intrigued, aren't we? So that is Joyous Machines at the Tate. Now, Pete Clark and Tony Phillips, you can tell us about these in a moment, but while you were there, you managed to do interviews with the two of them, and which I shall be uploading to Art in Liverpool FM very shortly, perhaps even before this podcast go out, so you can have a listen to those. But give us a little bit of background.
They're two separate exhibitions. Pete Clark is like the main exhibition in the gallery space on the first floor, Victoria Gallery and Museum, the University Gallery. Pete Clark's been in the Liverpool art scene for many years, and he's not actually from Liverpool. He moved to Liverpool to actually teach art or printmaking in the Liverpool Art College, in the 80s, I think. And so some of his works, while teaching, he was still finding time to do painting, thank goodness. So some of the works date back to the early 80s and go on to more recent times. It's a retrospective of his works. He's done a lot of work, and quite often in series. He might do a series of 20 or so, and there wasn't space for all them. So there's like little series of two or three from these collections. It's really good. It's all abstract or abstracted in some way, and sometimes this is Liverpool, but done in an abstract way.
He was mentioning Myrtle Street. There was something there on Myrtle Street, Myrtle Gardens, I believe he mentioned. And it was just kind of, that was it. It was a bit further up. It was where there's housing there now. And it was just, that sounds really interesting. I wouldn't mind going down and just having a look. And it's kind of like,
the way we used to live.
But no, it's some really interesting subject.
That's right. Yeah, one of the first paintings actually is a scene just next to where we are now. Remember a while ago we were talking about Tesco's nearly coming to Hope Street, but then they didn't, in the unit next to the Philharmonic pub. Well, funny, that used to be a garage, used to be Blake's garage, and the cars would actually take a car there to be serviced. But above that was Artist Studios, and there's a whole group of artists that formed something, Liverpool Artist Society or something. And so he actually painted the view from that window, which went across to Josephine Butler House, which has now been demolished. So it's very interesting, the fact that there used to be Artist Studios on Hope Street, and there's this old, not very clear picture of Josephine Butler House, because he's done it in an abstract way. So there's that, and yeah, there's a few other scenes from around the area. Although they're mostly like oil on canvas or on board, you can see the influence of printmaking. He was very into the printmaking side of things, as Liverpool is quite well known for its printmaking. So you can sort of see the influence of the printmaking in there.
It's a good show. It's everything is cyclical, isn't it? Everything. I remember that when that was. I do remember it used to be Blake's garage. I'm not sure how or why. Or it's still. Or when I got here, it still said Blake's above it, and it was kind of clear that it was like some sort of. It looked, as far as I remember, it looked like a car showroom. But there you go. Yeah. So that's really interesting.
And when it was turned into a nightclub, it was Blake's. They call it a nightclub, Blake's the first, and then it became Roadkill, and now it's going to be a new Corova. Grover's moving up from Fleet Street up to Hope Street.
It does need to move out of there, though, doesn't it?
Definitely, yeah, yeah. It just doesn't seem, just as much as Tesco's doesn't seem right on Hope Street, Grover wasn't quite by Concert Square.
Concert Square, need we say any more? Anyway, tell us a bit about Tony Phillips as well, because Tony was meant to be exhibiting, or he was exhibiting at the Senate House when the exhibition was cut short so that they could actually knock the building down, which is, I'm sorry, we're going to have to close your exhibition. We're knocking the building down. You might want to check your work.
That's right. Yeah, you've obviously listened to the interview, haven't you? Very good. Tony Phillips. He is originally from Liverpool, but hasn't lived in Liverpool for a while. He actually lives in Italy now, but he lived in Shrewsbury or somewhere many years. But he'd been in residence at Liverpool University for about a year. And this came out of the exhibition he had in the University Gallery, which was then in partly Senate House and partly Abercrombie Square a few years ago, about 3 or 4 years ago. So then he got this residency, and he's been working there for about a year now. It's culminated in this small exhibition in the museum space, which is on the second floor, the Tate Hall. If you listen, you might have edited this out, but I start the interview by saying Tate, and I'm thinking, people might get confused with Tate at the Albert Dock, it is Tate, so it's the Tate. Tate Hall, which is the museum in Victoria Gallery Museum at the University. That explained. It's a good show. He explains it in the interview, but it's a mixture of some of the museum pieces, the old computing equipment, and the most recent one being the old Commodore, which is very old, but even previous to that. And then he's done nice paintings, so they look like, what's the word, shrine or something?
Yeah, shrine is the word. That sounds really interesting. Of course, you really interesting. And you used to work at the university as well, didn't you? So you were kind of like, I'm quite interested in that. Used to work here, and it's shrine to the 20th century. That's what it's called. And it's kind of like, it just sounds quite fascinating. And I'm listening to you talk about Joyous Machines, and then he's talking about the Commodore 64, and he's talking about other things, various different items which he takes from the university collection and he uses in one way, shape or form. I haven't seen the work, so I don't know, but this is kind of what he said. And I'm thinking, these two, Joyous Machines and Tony Phillips show, go and see those on the same day, because I kind of like, they sound so similar.
A bit of a distance between the two tapes, in fact. but they are both very good shows. The one at VGM, if you've been to the museum on the second floor, there's alcoves, and one is full of awful like dentist torture machinery, and another one is got signs saying this might upset the kids because it's got to do with stillbirths and fetuses and stuff like that in jars, that sort of thing. But then you've got this other alcove with Tony Phillips working, which is much nicer.
Excellent. Okay, well, I'll head along there. I might try and make the two Tates in one day. Now, next, Contemporary Urban Centre relaunch. Give us a few words. You had a great time. If you weren't at the Contemporary Urban Centre relaunch, then what you need to do is you actually need to sign up to receive Ian's artinliverpool.com newsletter, because Ian sent a message around to everyone saying, have you replied to this? Go along. You need to RSVP. Da, 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 da. People were complaining to me that I hadn't heard about that. And I'm thinking, well, that's not my fault. Don't blame me. It's kind of, you know, the information is out there for you to use. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, well, it was one of those funny ones where it wasn't really open to everybody. You had to hear about it and RSVP. So there will be a lot of people who didn't hear it, I suppose. It's good. It's a lovely new website they've launched as well, contemporaryurbancentre.org. So everything's on there. Yeah, the launch was good. They have been rebranded, and you were given handouts, folders with all the information in as you came in of the new program and so on. There was dancing from Lipper students and Hot Club de Paris, the band. We missed them again. We've heard about their name for years, but we always missed them. We were off looking around another part of the building. So people were free to wander around and check out the restaurants and the cinema and go, oh, I didn't realize this was here. Oh, interesting. Come back and have another look. So yeah, it was good. It was really, really buzzing. It was a good day, good night.
It was a really good night. And it is quite surprising the amount of stuff that's actually in there, though, isn't it? It's kind of, you know, they got the cinema, they got the bar on the fifth floor, there's two floors of bars on the fifth floor, they got, you know, this space, that space, you want a size kind of conference, you want, they got the dance studio, anything. You know, so it's a really good venue for whatever it is that you want to do. If you're looking to book somewhere, go down there and have a look. So that is Roundup of the Week. This week, Ian, there's a viewing, I will attempt to pronounce it, Crepuscule. Yes, Crepuscule. Wednesday the 7th of October between 7 and 9, 8 crack. Again, they've got some more great works coming up at 8 crack. Crepuscule, that's all I've got to say to you, mate. tell us, what's the show about? Who's put it together? Is there anybody that we know that's in the show?
Yes. This is the third exhibition at the Crack, organised by Gaynor from Stranger Tractors. You do need to RSVP to this one, because normally during the summer the beer garden's open, and then lots of people flood out into the garden. But if the garden's closed because of the time of year, it's a bit cold, then space is limited. So it's just a case of having some idea of how many people turn up. So please RSVP. The email is on the website there. Crepuscule, which means twilight, so just after the sun goes. And it features, I think it's 10 artists or local artists. Some of them have been in the previous exhibitions, like Nathan Pendlebury and Nick Jones, and a few other ones, new ones. They're always good shows there. So Wednesday. I know private views are normally Thursday, but it's the Wednesday one. Wednesday the 7th. This Wednesday, 7 till 9.
RSVP, he says. Okay, also the same night, which again is quite hard. It's a Wednesday night. Glimpses of Light at Norton Priory. Now, the show actually opens on Wednesday the 7th at Norton Priory. So that's Glimpses of Light. Tell us, what's this about?
I don't think there is a viewing for this because it's at Norton Priory. A bit difficult to get people along to viewings along there. Evening anyway. This is Christine O'Reilly Wilson, quite well-known local artist, been in lots of shows. In fact, I think she was in the Crack one, the last one. It's a solo show. New abstract colour paintings. It was really nice, really nice, colourful abstracts. So Norton Priory, yes, you might remember the Kitchen Gallery used to be based at Norton Priory, run by Sarah Nicholson. But that's closed. So now Norton Priory just have exhibitions in the foyer or lobby area. It opens on Wednesday 7th and we'll be there for a while. I haven't got the end date. Sorry.
Okay, well, that's Glimpses of Light. This is a private view. Urban Evolution by Anne Desmet at the Cornerstone Gallery. Oh, so this is the Cornerstone Gallery. We like the Cornerstone Gallery. Not that we dislike any of this, but we definitely like the Cornerstone Gallery. Tell us about this Urban Evolution.
Yeah, we do. We like the Cornerstone Gallery. And they like, well, amongst other things, they like prints and printers. And Anne Desmet is a renowned printmaker. And so, yeah, the viewing is on Thursday, this the 8th this Thursday, 6 till 8, and the exhibition runs through till 20th November. Urban Evolution, why is it called that? Features a broad range of work of the last 10 years, demonstrating her fascination with the built environment. Says here, remarkable depictions of buildings and cities contain recurring themes of urban decay and renewal. Ooh, sounds grim, but got an image here which looks nice, and yeah, printmaking, that's really fascinating stuff. So yeah, this exhibition was curated by the Whitworth in Manchester in association with Heart Gallery London, which represents again, there might still be building work at Cornerstone, so you might have to go around the entrance on Hague Street.
Brilliant, so this is a really nice image, which I will then duplicate on my website too, and then we can all have a look at it. Now, next up, viewing at Soup. Now, Soup, 8th of October from 6 till 9 at the Egg Space, which is the Egg Cafe. Soup artist? What's this? What's going on? Oh yeah, Tate Soup.
Yeah, it's Soup at Egg. we've mentioned before, haven't we, the Soup Collective. It's all people who work at Tate in one form or another, and they keep having exhibitions all over the place. They had one at CUC recently, they had loads during the biennial last year, and I think they've been at Egg before as well. So yeah, Egg features several artists who have got studios in various Liverpool studios as well, and range of medias: prints, painting, ceramics, sculpture, photography. Should be a good show. So yeah, Soup Collective, and so the viewing is on Thursday from 6 till 9, which is earlier than normal for Egg. The egg space ones, when they're curated by Headspace, are normally from 7 onwards, but this one starts at 6.
Brilliant. Okay. To be interesting as you're going along for your lunch, maybe one day let's pop by and have a look at work. Now coming up is it's the big draw. I have a long list of big draw events here in front of me. I'm not sure if we're going to mention all these, because I'm sure they're all very similar, these big draw events. But so just give us a rundown. What's big draw about? And then we can mention the places where all these things are taking place even.
Big draw is this. It's a national campaign to encourage drawing, getting people involved in anybody, artists, non-artists, so on, come along and do some drawing. So I've attempted to put some of the events on the website, because we've had information from all over the place. There's a leaflet you can pick up from the information centre, etc., which covers the whole Liverpool big draw. But within that, there's lots of activities with just sort of at the NML places. There's the big draw St Helens, which is just one day on Saturday the 10th at the Godfrey Pilkington Art Gallery. Lots of activities, including digital drawing. And there's lots of stuff going on at the Williamson in Birkenhead. And where was the other one?
Fact, Tate, in the Liverpool one. There's the Blue Coats, Fact, Tate.
Yeah. But the Liverpool one, if you pick up the leaflet, you'll see it covers, or at least the NML side, it covers just about every weekend through October. So it all starts this Saturday, the 10th, or maybe even the 9th. Let's just see one here. And then runs through the end of October. So, in fact, one of them is features Tony Phillips, the guy we've just been talking about. But this is at the Maritime Museum. You can join artist Tony Phillips drawing a mural. The Stuff the World Museum, Fact Light Draw in the Box, the Blue Coat, and Tate. So there's lots of information on various websites, including there's the culture.org.uk and there is a website, the national website for the drawing thing. I can't remember what it's called.
It'll be bigdraw.something-or-other.uk thingy. So that's a lot of events. There's a good few places mentioned within that. Lots of family-friendly events. Take the children along to have a good time. Now, also, coming up this week, there's... I was so hoping I would prepare myself better for this. But there is a John Peel Day. And it's a fundraising event for John Peel. It's Sunday the 11th of October. And there's an event at the Blue Coat from 12 till 5. Where, now, tell me if this is true. You can actually take along your favourite record or, whatever. Maybe not your favourite. But, take along your favourite. You can go along and you can introduce it. And that's, obviously, you contribute some money. And that's part of you taking part in John Peel Day. Tell me that's true. And tell me, I bet your Brian Biggs had something to do with that.
That what, eh?
So I bet your Brian Biggs had something to do with that.
I'm sure he's a big fan, isn't he? John Peel Day, 11th of October. Yes, you can bring along and introduce and play a record of your choice. So you do have to actually take a record along. I don't know what format. Could it be in any format? I don't know. And then you have to pay a pound. So it's a pound donation, which goes to the fundraising side of it, to get the opportunity to be a DJ for one record.
And do you think you get to? I mean, I would really hope they get into the swing of it, and they actually, you know, do the have to introduce it in John Peel style. You know, it's not often that I get a record coming through me door, but here's one from a band. There you go. That's me, John Peel impression. But I hope people really get into it and, you know, start to do that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Might do a better job than you, maybe.
Anyway, that's a terrible thing. No, also, we've got Dave Monks, BBC Radio Merseyside presenter Dave Monks. He's going to be... Oh, what's he doing?
Yeah, I'm getting confused there because it gives the time of his radio programme, but that's irrelevant for this. He's introducing the event and I'm playing the first record. And he'll be joined by Amsterdam lead singer Ian Prowse, who will be doing a live acoustic performance. It'll just be like a John Peel show in session mode and all that. And you can just go along and watch. So it's free for the audience. You have to pay a pound if you want to play something, but it's free to just be in the audience and watch it all go on. So this is from noon till 5 o'clock at the Blue Coat this Sunday, the 11th of October.
Now, I really hope that some of those local Liverpool bands who are on the Peel sessions, I hope that they get their, they want to really get their old records out, that they, you know, that they were there on the show, plug in, get down there, play their own record, and there's their pound, or a few bob more than a pound.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea. Yeah, make it a really big, former John Peel Sessionites get together thing. Yeah,
Peelites, Sessionites. It's kind of, yeah. That would be that would be really good.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's so. We'll plan that for next year. Okay.
Okay, that is this week. Further ahead, Ian. There's lots of things coming up, although we haven't got a lot of stuff here in front of us. So, further ahead, tell us what is coming up. What from the plethora of things that are before us have you picked out as the choice elements?
We've already mentioned the Design Festival coming up. And Dada Fest, we talked about last week. Check out Dada Hello. It's DadaHello.com. Yep, that's all the details on the website. And they now call it, there was news today, they're calling for nominations. We have awards, which will be in the new Hilton. The actual awards, I mean, the new Hilton in Liverpool. So that just today they've asked for people to nominate people for the various categories for that. So also coming up, there's lots of Blue Coat, actually, just looking at the Blue Coat brochures, the chapter and verse, the newish, just the second or third year literature festival at the Blue Coat. Loads of stuff going on. It just runs from the 14th of October to the 18th, and some of it's relating to the Malcolm Lowry exhibition that's on at the moment, Under the Volcano, so there's things relating to that. And also, I think the 14th is National Poetry Days, I think it is, or maybe not, maybe before. But anyway, yeah, there's certainly poetry events. They've got a poet in residence now, Nathan Jones, so he'll be doing stuff. And what else is there? Lots and lots of literature stuff. Vic Reeves is giving a talk, but I'm pretty sure that tickets will be sold out already. Michael Rosen's doing stuff, the great children's writer, illustrator. What else? And there's more things relating to the Malcolm Lowry exhibition at the Blue Coat. There's various talks and tours exhibition. Brian Biggs is giving a tour on the 17th, the tour of the exhibition. And there's one every Saturday anyway. What else is there? There's a heritage trail. I was thinking of that. John Peel Day, that's at the Blue Coat, you mentioned that. And Liverpool Poetry Cafe at the end of the month. And Mexican Day of the Dead Altar. Oh, yes, the... November the 1st. This Under the Volcano thing by Malcolm Lowry, is a lot of this is to do with the Mexican Day of the Dead, and so a lot of that features in the exhibition. And so the day is actually Halloween, isn't it? All there about the end of October. But on the Sunday, the 1st of November, they're doing this special event, Mexican Day of the Dead, and lots going on there. So it's on a Sunday afternoon, 1 till 4, 1st of November. That'll be good.
That will be good. I was just thinking, you were talking about, okay, it's a completely different Lowry, but Maggie Hambling has got an exhibition at the Lowry. It's like Maggie Hambling and Lowry at the Lowry. I thought I'd bring that up because she was in the Walker, the Go...
George Melly.
Yeah. Yeah, she was in the Go George Melly exhibition. I was thinking, I know that name from someone else. Of course. My.
Is it the same stuff then, or is it other of her works, you know?
Other of her works, but that's coming up in a couple of weeks as well. So if you're a big Maggie Hambling fan and you want to go and have a look at that, check out the Lowry website. If need be, I've got a private view invite. I don't think I'll be using it, but get in touch.
Yeah, and the Lowry's a good place. If you haven't been to the Lowry Centre on top of Keys there, it's worth a visit. Good. Exhibitions and what they have, cinemas, don't they? And theatre space, good.
Fantastic space. But give it, you know, a day. Because it's so big, you get lost. Walk around the whole place. It's huge. While you're there, visit the War Museum. The War Museum of the North. That's a lovely place as well. Careful on that bridge going across. Fantastic place. Now, you've been...
And there's a big shopping mall opposite as well.
Yeah, don't go into the shopping mall. Don't go into the shopping mall. Save your money. Buy something from Lowry Gift Shop. Me and Ian here would like T-shirts.
Yeah. Well, Lowry T-shirt.
Yeah, if anybody's going there. Yeah, like as if anybody's going to do that.
Yeah. Well, maybe not a War Museum T-shirt.
Yeah, maybe not. Yeah, that'd be wrong. Okay, so before what we laughingly call the show descends into absolute anarchy, Ian, I would like to say thank you very much.
Thank you.
And thank you very much for listening, and good night.
Thanks for downloading from DeafNet Media.